Okay, so we're on top of Mem Tet today. This will focus. So yesterday we got a new parak yesterday on Mem Chet Amud Beis 48b. The first line of the Mishnah said, "Anizak in shamin lahem be'edit," that nizak and those people are injured. So we evaluate their the amount that they're going to recoup with edit, the best property. So the Gemara says it's because of tikkun olam. So the Gemara ended up saying. So the Gemara said, "How could that be tikkun olam?" The Torah says, "Meitav sadeh meitav karmo yishleim." You have to pay the best. So what's the takana de rabbanan? So the Gemara says, "Our Mishnah is going according to Tana Rabbi Shmuel. According to Tana Rabbi Shmuel, we evaluate the denizak. In other words, the injured party. We see what his best property is, and then if the mazik, even if the mazik is very wealthy and has even better properties, he pays on a Torah level." Land that's equivalent to the best property of the Nizak. But the Tikkun Olam, because we want to deter people from injuring people, is that on a Drabbanan level, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Nizak will get the Meitav of the Mazik. In other words, like Rabbi Kiva holds. Okay, so then the Gemara quoted a Braisa. Let's go over the Braisa briefly. It's around midway down the column on the Mechad Rebbe's near an asterisk. He says, the Tanya, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kramo Yishleim, Meitav Sadeh Shal Nizak, Meitav Kramo Shal Nizak, Div Rabbi Shmuel. So the Tan Rabbi Shmuel says it means, again, it says if somebody's ox goes in somebody's field, we'll open the Chumash in a minute, so he has to pay Meitav. Meitav is the best. So Rabbi Shmuel says the best means the best of the Nizak. In other words, the quality, in other words, the amount of money is going to be determined, but it has to be the best of equivalent. In other words, the warrant takes that people would rather have good quality, like less good quality land than a lot of bad quality land. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's the Nizak. In other words, like he's only obligated to pay according to the best property of the Nizak. Rabbi Kiva Meir, Lobach Tuva Lagvot Nizak Mina Idiv Kalkom Lahekdesh. So we're not 100% sure what Rabbi Kiva says or means here, but the Gemara takes it and we'll talk about this more this evening, that when he's talking about the edict, when we're going to quote Rabbi Kiva from the edict of the Mazik, and what the Kabbalah Korban Hekdesh is, we'll clarify. So then on the bottom line, on Mem Chenor Beis, slipping down to the bottom line on page 96, Mem Chenor Beis, so Elam Aravach Bar Yaakov, Hakamai Eskinan, what's the case that we're dealing with in the Mishnah? You know, in fact, edict and Izak is the word the Mazik, or the case of the Brice, I should say, that the edit of the Nizak is equivalent to the Ziburi. In other words, we'll give them names. Reuben is the Mazik and Shimon is the Nizak. Shimon's best land, Shimon's A land, is equivalent to Reuben's C land. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, the Nizak Sheminan, Tan Rabbi Shmuel holds, we look at the Nizak and we're focusing on the Nizak. So the Nizak gets his best land. Rabbi Kiva Savar, the Mazik Sheminan. Rabbi Kiva holds, the Mazik Sheminan. Okay, time to get the Chumash open. If you open up to Parsha Mishpatim, find the page. So this is going to be on page 426. Okay, everybody with me? Okay, let's look. If you have a Chumash, Ruth, it's on Perichah Beis Pasuk Dalet in Shmot. So the Pasuk says, I'll read in the Chumash now. It says in Pasuk Dalet, so he translates it here. He says, if a man permits livestock to devour a field or vineyard, yaver means like it's going to be devoured. Kiaver ish sadeh ocherem, a field or a vineyard, v'shilacha bi'iro, his animals called bi'iro, v'yer b'steacher, mitav sadeh mitav kamo yishalem. The part that's interesting is, yaver means like devour, but it's interesting like this, in Hebrew, the havar is also like setting fire. I assume fire devours. But the animal is called Biro because it just devours. In other words, like the devourer is the Biro. So let's see back in the Gemara now. So the Gemara says, so on line four, I'm in Tanaman Aleph. So my Talmud Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel who says, B'nizak Sheminan, Nimra Sadelamata, B'nimra Sadelamala? So if you look again in the Chumash, in the Pasuk, so the end of the Pasuk says, Meitav Sadeu Meitav Promo Yishalein. So Meitav Sadehu, that's the at the end of the pasuk. That's Lamata. In the Lamala, it says Uvier b'steacher, that your animal will devour in somebody else's field. He says Mas back in the Gemara Masadamu Lamala Denizak. So clearly, in the earlier phrase, we're talking about the injured parties, the injured party's property. Uvi er b'stei acher, there's sedeh, it's talking about the nizak, af sedeh hamur l'matza, the nizak. So too, the other one's nizak as well. In other words, gzeir shava. The Gemara is setting up a gzeir shava within the same pasuk. It says sedeh, sedeh twice. It says uvi er b'stei acher, your animal will devour in somebody else's field. And there, the field is definitely the nizak's field. And then it says, meitav sedeh, meitav promo yishalem, then it's sedeh again. So the gzeir shava teaches me, according to the Tan Rabbi Shmuel, that it's the nizak's field. So Rabbi Akiva back in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Savar, Meitav Sadev Yishalim, the Yach the Kama Shalim. Rabbi Akiva says, let's look at the phrase by itself. It says, Meitav Sadev Meitav Promo Yishalim. So what's the active verb there? He shall pay. It means that the Mazik is going to pay. So he's the subject of that last clause. So Meitav Sadeu, the Rabbi Akiva is saying, is going on the Mazik. So back in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, Rishmal is not totally rejecting what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva says the Gzeir Shava is going to inform part of the halacha, but so will Rabbi Akiva's drasha. So Gzeir Shava, according to Rabbi Shmuel, helps, like we said. We're going to do the Sadeh and Izak. But the Pasuk will still help us somewhat. He says, the Itle Lamazik Idi Biziburi, because if the Mazik has A and C fields, he says, Viziburi today lo shavik edit the nizak. In other words, let's say the edit of the nizak is worth more than the ziburid of the mazik. In other words, again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we go with the nizak. So I'm looking at the nizak. So the nizak is entitled to recoup based on his edit. His edit, his A field, is not equal to the C. It's a little bit worth more than the C, but not as much as the mazik's A field. He says, And the Mazik only has two fields, A and C. He says, "Kidis the Nizak, the Mishalim Leimi Meitav." So then, and under those circumstances, I'm not going to say that the Ziburid of the Mazik is going to be a ceiling to the Nizak's recovery. I'm going to push him over to the Meitav. So then, under those circumstances, I'll push him the Nizak on a Torah level, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Will be able to recoup from the Mazik. Okay, he says, do you have that so far or not? Yeah, everybody good? Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says, we just said from what? Yeah, that's it. Now, Rabbi Akiva, now, okay, so now we clarified the Shita of the Tan Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to attempt to clarify the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva is not so mafurish in the lines in the Brisa. We just learned the Brisa before. He said something that was somewhat, ambiguous. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva said, "Lo baktuv el gabot l'nizakim in a edid." So it was that the nizakim, the injured party, collects from edid. So we said it means the mazik. We'll see. So Rabbi Akiva said, "Lo baktuv el gabot l'nizakim in a edid." The kavakomer in the hektesh. So whatever halacha he's learning, it's a kavakomer for hektesh. So the Gemara says, "My kavakomer in the hektesh." So we think of the havamina that Rabbi Akiva means that the meitav. And we already said Rabbi Akiva means the meitav is the mazik. The mazik's meitav. But then what's the Kal V'chomer of the Hektesh? Even more so, for Hektesh, we're going to take the Meitav. So, Ilei Medanachei Torah Didam, the Torah de Hektesh. Well, let's say maybe what he's doing about Hektesh. Maybe it means one of our shores, meaning a civilian shore. In other words, a shore that's owned by a civilian, regular Jew, gores a shore that's owned by Hektesh and does damage. So normally, so the Torah says, let's get the Pasuk out, and we have our Chumash open again. Let's look back at Chumash, page 424, Pasuk Lamed Hay. Okay, Perek Hapalot, Pasuk Lamed Hay in Shmot. It says, V'chi gof shor ish at shor yeh v'mei. If somebody's shore, gores somebody else's shore, and the shore dies, Ma'akud ha-shor ha-tzuit ha-spob gomei yechatzon, it comes out, if it's a short time, you pay chatzi nezek. That's what the Torah teaches me. It says, but it says, shor reyehu, v'chi gof shor ish at shor reyehu. His friends, like his peers, shore. So back in the Gemara, so Ilei Medanachei Torah Didam LaTorah DeHekdesh. So maybe it means if, what does Rabbi Akiva mean, Kal V'chomer LaHekdesh? Maybe Rabbi Akiva means if a person's Reuven shore gored a shore of Hekdesh, and now Hekdesh is recouping Chatzi Nezek, maybe, and so they collect from, maybe they collect from the Meitav. That's what we think it would be. He says, but Shor Re'ehu Amar Achman Avlo Shor Shal Hekdesh. But the drasha is Shor Re'ehu, V'chi Gof Shor Ish at Shor Re'ehu. If my shore gores Shorei Ehu, my friend's shore, then there's a din of Chatzin Ezek. But if it's Shura Hekdesh, there's no recuperating, no recovery at all. So that can't be the Pshat. Well, we think it can't be the Pshat. We're going to come back to it shortly. Ela la'omer harele ma'ad lebet kabayit. So the Gemara says maybe what Rabbi Akiva is referring to is where a person said he's going to give a mana to bet kabayit. Mana, like a sum of money for the upkeep of the base of Mikdash. The ati gizbar b'shakel me'idit. And then he would be saying that kal v'chomer lahekdesh, that the gizbar, the treasurer of the base of Mikdash, can come and recoup this mana from the edit, from the person who promised it, but it means the debtor's edit. So the Gemara says, why should that be the case? Lo yehiel abal chov. Why should hekdesh be entitled to collect from the edit? Because hekdesh would be better than a bal chov. Bal chov is a creditor. That's the case here. In other words, the money is owed to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's like bal chov. It says bal chov, you know, but beinoni. Bal chov collects beinoni. And yet, apparently, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's saying there's some kavachomer that he's making it sushtel between a person who does damages to somebody else's, his animal, let's say, you know, gnashes away in somebody's field, to a person who, you know, makes a promise to give money to Hekdesh. The chitema, maybe say like this. Rabbi Akiva, Baal Chov Shakel Be'idi Kinizakin. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that a Baal Chov is also recoups. He also recovers from Edith, just like Nizakin, just like with his tortfeasor, there's damages he collects from Edith. Maybe the Tanur Rebbe Akiva holds, Malchob also collects from the Edith. So, but if that were the case, so that's our working shot up to now, which the Gemara is going to reject in 30 seconds. So we think, Kavachomer lehekdesh, we think that Rebbe Akiva is saying that in the case of Nizakin, of, you know, torts, you know, where there's been damages. So we take the edit of the mazik and kavachomer the hekdesh. Somebody promises to give a contribution to the hekdesh and he doesn't pay it up, we would take from his edit. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, ikal mifrach, but I can ask a kasha on that. He says, in other words, that's a kavachomer. That's where he keeps kavachomer. He says, ikal mifrach, mal balchol shen yupa kocho benizakin. In other words, you're assuming that Hekdesh is Kavachomer. If it's true by Nizakin, it's certainly true by Hekdesh. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. That's what we think. But does that work? Because I would say, Mal Baal Chov, Shkin Yupa Koko, Benizakin. A Baal Chov, his rights are enhanced by Nizakin. In other words, by when damage has been done. We said already that when the Hekdesh is out of the partial with the damages. So if, you know, with my shore, Gore is the shore of Hekdesh, there's no recovery. But we're saying, but a garden variety person, you know, if somebody gores his ox, he has enhanced rights to collect, you know, yeah, from the edi. He says, Tomer behekdesh, shkin hura koko benizakin. So that doesn't work out. In other words, if it's true by Nizakin, it's certainly true by Hekdesh. So the Gemara is saying it's not true, because it's true by Nizakin, yeah, but in other words, and we're saying that a Baal Chov in general collects from edi. But it's true by Nizakin, but vis-a-vis Nizakin, Hekdesh is not better than Nizakin. They're worse than Nizakin. So that doesn't work out so well. So the Gemara goes back to its original pshat. We olam dinachei Torah didam Torah dehekdesh. No, what he meant was, Rabbi Akiva meant, we think, that again, somebody's ox gored an ox of Hekdesh. He says, Rabbi Akiva sabadak Rav Shimon Asya. But we said there's no recovery in that case. He go pshor ish at shor re'ehu. But that's the mainstream thinking. But the Tana Rabbi Akiva holds like Rav Shimon Asya, who says there is recovery in that case. He says, "Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Asya Omer, Shor Shel Hekdesh Shenagaf Shor Shel Hedyot Patur. If the shore was owned by Hekdesh and a gore somebody else's shore, so Hekdesh is no liable in a Hekdesh. Shel Hedyot Shenagaf Shor Shel Hekdesh. But if it's a civilian's own shore, gores the shore of Hekdesh, bein tam ubein muad, whether the shore was a tam or a shore was a muad, mishalim nezek shalim, then it's nezek shalim. Meaning, he's learning the pasuk like this. In other words, we said, v'chi go shore ish at shore re'ehu, then, and under those circumstances, it's chasi nezek. He's learning, it's not shore re'ehu, but it's not chasi nezek, it's nezek shalim. Not that you're off the hook totally, you know, that's a shalim if you gore the Hekdesh. Not that it's less, it's more. And then he also learns the pasuk the other way around. He learns that there's only liability if the tortfeasor, if there was Reyehu, but if the tortfeasor, if the shore was owned by Hekdesh, then there is no recovery. So that being the working shot, so let's see back in the Gemara. He says, so we think, that, so let's go back. So now we think the shot in the Bryce is as follows. So we think the shot in the Bryce is Rabbi Ishmael holds that we evaluate, you know, Meitav with the Nizak. We look at the Nizak. Rabbi Kiva holds with the Mazik. And then Rabbi Kiva says, and Kavachomer to Hekdesh, meaning Kavachomer in a case, if somebody's shore damages the shore of Hekdesh, Kavachomer, we're going to go with Meitav. So we'll see in a minute. So presumably the Kavachomer, because Hekdesh is entitled even when it's Mu'at, kind of Tom, kind of the Nesek Shalom. So Kavachomer, then we're also going to take from Meitav. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, I'll pause in another few lines and we'll get our breaths and we'll summarize, okay? So ihachi mimai de'ita d'nizak kizibur d'mazik pli. So once you tell me you have this yisod now that there's a machloket about whether somebody's shore gores the shore of Hekdesh, is there recovery or not? So according to one way, there is no recovery. In other words, from Hekdesh, there was if my shore gores the shore of Hekdesh. So according to mainstream thinking, there is no recovery in Hekdesh. But according to Rishon Manasseh, there is recovery. And we know the Rebbe, we're saying Rabbi Akiva holds like Rishon Manasseh. So ihachi, you might have eaten the nizak kizibur demazik pligim. So now you've taught me that. So why do I even have to come in and say the point of dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa is with the nizak or with the mazik shaminan? He says, Dilma, the kuliyam of the nizak shaminan. Maybe the Gemara wants to posit. Maybe even Rabbi Akiva agrees with the Nizak Sheminan. He says, Vahacha proposed Rishon Manasseh, Rabban Kamiflagi. Maybe, the Brice was very enigmatic. Within Rabbi Shmuel, it was Mefurash. Rabbi Shmuel says, let's look again in the Brice. He says, if you look at the Brice on the previous Amud, we went over at the beginning of today's Daf, says, the Tanya, says, when Tawash Lame, Maitab Sado Shaliza, when Tawash Shalizak, the Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel, that's clear, the main Nizak. Then Rabbi Akiva has a somewhat sort of ambiguous statement. That Nizakin collects from the Edid. So now the Gemara thinks like this. Back in the Gemara on Mem Ted and Aleph, so maybe everybody agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that we're looking in the garden variety case where there is injury to Nizak. But maybe the point of dispute in the Braisa between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is over Gufa, this halacha from Rabbi Shmuel Manasseh, meaning Rabbi Kiva sabalak Rabbi Shmuel Manasseh. Rabbi Kiva holds like Shmuel Manasseh, meaning that if my shore gores the shore of Hekdesh, then indeed Hekdesh does recover and covers the whole amount. Rabbi Shmuel sabalak Karabanan. And Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Chamim or Mekulak that there is no recovery. So the Gemara is going to plug this up in 2 seconds. So im came my lobaha ketuv. So the Gemara says, look, if that's what Rabbi Kiva means, why would it say lo baha ketuv? In other words, lo baha ketuv sounds like the pasuk is not teaching A, it's teaching B. But according to this pshat, they both agree. They both agree that's beniza. That's the ostensible, you know, hypothesis we have. But lo baha ketuv does not sound that way. Pasuk isn't coming teaching me A, it's teaching me B. So that doesn't sound like this pshat that we're putting through. The od. My kalvachomer lehekdesh. In addition to which, what's kalvachomer lehekdesh? In other words, so he says kalvachomer lehekdesh. In other words, Rabbi Kiva is saying if something is true by garden variety nizikin, kalvachomer it'll be true by hekdesh. So he says, so if the garden variety case is teaching me a chumra, that you're entitled to edit of the mazik. Kavachomer Hekdesh, I'm getting even than that. That's a chumra. So the chumra teaches me. But if it's teaching me a kula, a leniency, which is what the way Rabbi Shmuel is coming out, it's a leniency that even though the person's shore damaged somebody's property, so the victim, the injured party can only recover from his own edit, which is a kula. So how is that kavachomer? Kavachomer would be made by Hekdesh the same way. That doesn't make sense. In other words, so he says, Va'od, in addition to which, Ha'amar Rabashi, on the bottom line, Va'od Ha'amar Rabashi, turn page, top line, Tani Behedya. Rabashi says, we learn a brisa that explicitly says, not this way. He says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo Yishalem, Meitav Sadeh Shal Nizak, Meitav Karmo Shal Nizak, Divrei Bishmael. So that we had already. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Meitav Sadeh, Meishal Mazik, Meitav Karmo Shal Mazik. So we have a brisa that Mefurish says that Rabbi Akiva is Makulak with Rabbi Shmael on whether Meitav is the Nizak, Rabbi Shmael, or the Mazik, which is what Rabbi Akiva holds. Now, just one second. All right, so let's just summarize a bit and we'll digest and we'll take some questions. Okay, so the idea we've been focusing up till now is the first four words of the Mishnah that we did last night. So the Mishnah says, Hanizak in Shamin Lehem Be'idit, that the injured party, we evaluate for them, for the injured party, Be'idit, with the best property. And then the Mishnah says later on, they Tikana Olam, because if Tikana Olam, so we're going to do something we normally wouldn't do, and we're going to evaluate for them, for the injured party, with Edith. So the Gemara's working hypothesis, which the Gemara has stayed with up till now, is that this, our Mishnah, is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds normally, if a person's an injured party, so he's only able to recoup based on his own Edith. When it was his best property, he can collect the equivalent from the Mazik, even though it may not be the best property of the Mazik, but that's what he can recoup. But this Din Rabbanan, because of Tikkun Olam, they said that even though the Din Torah is to collect from the Edith of the Nizak, but Tikkun Olam, they said, you can collect from the Mazik even according to Rabbi Shmuel. And that's because we want to deter people from doing harmful actions. And then the Gemara says that what does it mean, Rabbi Kiva says, Kavachomer LaHekdesh? So the Gemara says, Kavachomer, it means that Rabbi Kiva holds, if my shore, you know, gores the shore of Hekdesh. So even though the Chamin are mechulak for this and say there is no recovery, but Rav Shimon Aski says there is, and not only that, it's a short time, you get even more, you get Nezek Shalem. So then under those circumstances, that Kavachomer, if in a regular case I get Edith from the Mazik, here too, I'm going to get Edith from the Mazik. Okay, no, I just want to look at one thing before I go on. Something was bothering me when I was going over with you. I just want to see how he explains this. One second. I must confess, I was bothered by one thing, though. How can he say, how could the Gemara have thought? So the Gemara thought, if you look back at the Braisa on Mem Chedam and Beis, Rabbi Kiva says, that the injured party collects from the Edith. So the Gemara thought that maybe Rabbi Akiva is talking about. One second. All right, let me read it. Okay. So the Gemara thought that maybe Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel, and he holds that you're going to collect from the Ziburi, which we rejected. But maybe he agrees. And the only point of dispute between them is this din of Rav Shimon Manasya. But if that's the case, how does he fit the words in the Braisa that is Rabbi Kiva says, L'bakhtu l'gavot nizakim in ha'idit? So, become chom l'hekdesh. And I understand how I would put those words into that hypothesis. Okay, any questions comes to us? Anything we did so far? You have anything, Mayor? Right. No, he 100% he holds like Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. That's what the Gemara is saying in this version, right? Okay, you good, Ruth? Okay, so now Mem Tenon Beis. So now the second line. So in this version, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, and the Tikkun Olam is that on a derice level, right? That's the way this shot is going. Okay, now we'll have a different shot. Okay, now. Okay, now we're on line five, on page 98. Mem Tanu Beis 49b, line five. So Ravina Amar, the old man, Rabbi Akiva. So Ravina says, no, the Pshat and Mishnah is differently. Our Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Shmuel. Our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. The Amar means the right to the Mazik Shemina. He holds on a Torah level, you collect from the Mazik. So if that's the case, so what's the Tikkun HaOlam? In other words, the Mishnah says, Zak Shemin Labi'idi, Ne Tikkun HaOlam. So it sounds like that's a din derabanan, but it's a din deraisa. It says Reb Shimon he, but Rabbi Akiva. Yeah, now Reb Shimon was a talmid of Rabbi Akiva, so they're on the same page. So let me see this outside first. Reb Shimon holds Bereshit and Talmud Dekra that we can make a subfacial examination of the mitzvah of the Torah, what the reasons for the mitzvahs are, and based on that we can have different halachot. So he's saying that when the Mishnah says Nei Tikkun HaOlam, it means that the Torah is teaching me that every Nizak collects from Edid on a Torah level, but the reason the Torah has that is because of Tikkun HaOlam. Not that it's a Din Derabanan, but the Torah has imposed this liability because of Tikkun HaOlam, because we'll see in a minute. He says, Reb Shimonhi, the Darish Tam HaDekra, Uma Tam Ka'amar, meaning the mission is saying, what's the reason? Matam the nizak and shaman the beidit the tikkun olam. How so? The tani we learn the brisa. Amar Reb Shimon lema amru on nizak and shaman the beidit. Why is it that nizakin? Why does the Torah provide the people who were injured recoup from the edit of the mazik? Nehagazlanim nehachamsanim. Because the people, the thieves and the chamsanim. So Rashi helps us out. What's between a gazlan and the chamsan? Let's look at the Rashi, the third arrow line. Gazlan lo yad gmei. Gazlan takes something from you and doesn't give you money. Chamsin yad gmei. Chamsin does give you money. He takes it from you, but he gives you money for it. The only thing is, we say Gazlan chamsin, that means when Chazal used the word chamas. In other words, you have to remember, sometimes like the Torah uses it, and sometimes Chazal uses it. So when Chazal referred to a chamsin, they mean somebody who pays money for it.
Could you explain how Tikkun HaOlam comes in as a concept?
It's coming in three minutes, Ruth. I'm going to pause in a few lines. Just listen. We're explaining it right now, okay? So Shemini Be'idim Neitikun Islanim Chasanim, because of the thieves and the Chasanim, like the people who take and pay money for it. Kadeshi Omar Adam, so the person would say, it was, we want to have a deterrent to the bad actions of people who would otherwise be thieves. Why am I stealing? Why am I, forcefully taking instead of paying money? Tomorrow they're going to apprehend me, and maybe I won't have the money. And the bezdin will come to my property because I am the wrongdoer. They're going to take my best field. If I owe damages, I have to pay. Please, you got to be unmute yourself. Ruth, you unmuted yourself. One second. So, lama is the bit. The other has been only in sudden and shleim. Some can almash the Torah. May tap sedim and tap kamo yishalem. Lefiha chamru and nizak shemun leidi. Therefore, they said nizakin the recoup from the edi. Okay, let's go over Ruth. I'm going to repeat again for you, Ruth. Okay, are you listening? So, Ruth. So the Mishnah says, Hanizakin, if somebody's an injured party, so the injured party is able to recoup their damages from the edit, from the best field of the mazik, of the wrongdoer. You got that? So the Gemara in this Pshat wants to say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva holds, that's what the Torah provides. But the Mishnah says that it's because of Tikkun HaOlam, which sounds like it's in the Rabbanan, like to make society better. So how do I fit those words in? So the Gemara says that it means that Rabbi Kiva is going with the same shita as Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is his Talmud. Rabbi Shimon means Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon holds Darshin and Talmud Dekra. We can look at the Torah and we can extrapolate the reason for the mitzvot. And based on those reasons, we can sometimes, have different applications for Allah. And we'll talk in a minute about that. We've had this before. So that being the case, the Pshat in the Mishnah, this is the way Ravina wants to say. So Ravina wants to say the Pshat in the Mishnah is that in Achinam the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, and when the Mishnah says Me Tikkun HaOlam, it means that the Torah's purpose in permitting, right? In other words, why does the Torah, you know, give the injured party the right to collect from Meitav of the Mazik? Because of Tikkun Olam, so society would be better. How will society be better? So the Bryce explains that hopefully this will be a deterrent to wrongdoers. When wrongdoers realize that their best property may be seized, you know, when they're apprehended, that'll have a deterrent effect on them. And that's the Tikkun Olam. Are you okay, Ruth? You're good? Okay, good. Okay, so let's see further in the Gemara. Now, the Bryce continues. He says, okay, now the Bryce says, the Pichamu and Nisach Shimon eat it. Now, Mamne Mamru, Baal Chob Beinoni. Why did Chazal teach us that a Baal Chob collects from Beinoni? Beinoni is like the minimum, like the medium property. So it means like this, that on a Duraisa level, a Baal Chob would collect from Ziburi. And a Baal Chob is a creditor. On a Duraisa level, he would collect from Ziburi. But Chazal wanted to make it, you know, facilitate the Baal Chob's collection so that people will lend money. So, but then they should have done to Edi. So why did they lock him down to Beinoni? In other words, they're going to move him up. But why don't they move him up all the way? Why are they moving him up to Beinoni? Because we're afraid, let's say Reuven will be the lender. So Reuven looks around and he sees Shimon. He's got a nice looking field, a nice looking house. Be Omar, and he, Reuven, will say, let me go in, lend him some money, then maybe he'll default, and then I'll be able to collect from his best property, and I have my eyes on his best property, and collect my debt. So therefore they said, you know, we're not going to give the Baal Chov the Edi. You know, we don't like these avaricious Baal Chov. In Baal Chov can be a debtor or a creditor, here means a creditor. We don't like these avaricious Baal Chov. So we want to knock him down to the Beinoni. Now, I was a little bit bothered today. What exactly are they trying to prevent? So one side, you could say, like low tach mode. If it was low tach mode, you're over in lav. You know, if I, you know, legally do it, it's like a low tach mode, you know, like I want your item and things like that. But, you know, I was talking to somebody else in the base matters, Rabbi Avram Gordimer. He thought it was like protection of the, you know, like the downtrodden, oppressed in society. You know, there was people who are, you know, down. We don't want people preying on them. Anyway, so he says here, Elamiata Yehebe Ziburi. So if that's the case, I want to beat back these avaricious, you know, creditors. So why don't we just give them Ziburi? Well, now them Ziburi. So Imkein, I thought Noel Del, but they Lovin. So then nobody's want to lend the money. Well, I get a Ziburi, you know, skip it. You know, I'm not lending my money just to get, you know, if it all goes, you know, if everything goes lousy, I got to get Ziburi. I'm not interested in Ziburi. All right. Okay. So let me just pause for a second. Let me go back a little bit for the Din of Reb Shimon. Let's look back on the third white line in Rashi upstairs. So we mentioned about Reb Shimon. So the Darish on the third white line in Rashi, the Darish Nami Ba'alma Tamad Dekrab above Metzia, Yabi Lo Tachavol Beged Almana. So a person shouldn't take his security, the garment of a widow. He says, the Kamar Ashiram Mashkinota. So he said, the reason a person, in other words, he's Dorish Tamad Dekra. So he says, the reason the Torah says I shouldn't take the Beged of an Almana is then I have to give it back to her at night if it's like her bedclothes or whatever. And then I'll go there in the morning. And then people, you know, will be hacking and chinic about me, you know, like lead to bad names and things like that. So, but then based on that, he wants to say that if the borrower is a Shira, a wealthy woman, maybe she had a liquidity issue and she needed some cash, so then I could, you know, in other words, there's nothing wrong with taking the Beged of an Ashira because then I'm not going to, you know, have to give it back at night. He says, so that's one example with Reb Shimon. All right, now let's see back on the Gemara. All right.
Question.
Now, yeah, what's up?
Could you just explain the Kal V'chomer concept to me again here, how it applies here?
In which case?
The earlier.
Kal V'chomer L'Hekdesh. So, yes. So we were saying that if Rabbi Akiva is saying that if in a tortfeasor situation where my property's been damaged, I'm entitled to collect from the idiot of the mazik, from the best of the land of the wrongdoer, right? So kavachomer, right. Kavachomer lehekdesh, she's saying, kavachomer in a case where my shore, gore, is a shore of hekdesh, that hekdesh can recoup from my edid. In other words, if somebody's shore eats in somebody's field, so the injured party can collect from the edid of the wrongdoer. So okay. Kavachomer, if somebody's shore gores a shore of hekdesh, something belongs to the base of mikdash, so kavachomer, you can collect from the edid versus the base of mikdash. But second, we learned that the hekdesh is even superior rights, because normally if you have a short time, you only collect half damages. But according to Rimanasya, you collect full damages. And so certainly, but there, that's the kavachomer. Okay? Okay, now we're 20 lines down on Mem Tet Amud Beis. Everybody with me? All right, now the Braisa, now we're focusing on the Braisa, though we had this halacha mishnah as well. The Braisa says, Tubat Isha b'zibur divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So if you remember, in the Mishnah, we did this yesterday, if you turn back one page to the Mishnah, on line two in the Mishnah, we learned Tubat Isha b'ziburit, like a woman when she collects her tsuba, she collects ziburit. Rabbi Meir Omer, af Tubat Isha b'beinoni. Rabbi Kiva says, she is beinoni. So please mute yourself, okay? Please mute yourself, I hear you. Okay, mute. Okay, let me help you. All right, so he says, so here the Braisa says, Tubat Isha b'ziburit de Rabbi Yehuda. So here the Braisa identifies the Tanakam as Rabbi Yehuda, and that makes sense because Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are bar pluktus rachas. So in Mishnah, we only had the Tanakama and Rabbi Meir. But here the Braisa identifies the Tanakama as Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ketubat Isha gets ziburit, Rabbi Meir Omer b'beinoni. And Rabbi Meir says she gets a beinoni. So Amar Reb Shimon, v'deima amru Ketubat Isha b'ziburit. Why did Chazal teach us that a Ketubat Isha collects from ziburi? Now, Ketubat Isha is a type of debt, right? So we said already that they kind of enhance the rights of Balei Chovo to collect from Beinoni. So why is Ketubat Isha b'ziburi, which is leaving it at the Din Torah? Why is it b'ziburi? Sheotermi masha ishro selisa, ishro selinase. In other words, we don't have to further incentivize her to get married. In other words, it's an unusual sort of a obligation. In other words, Ketubat Isha is not where she lent money, but once she marries, so there's an institution that the man undertakes to pay her a certain amount of money if they divorce, and that's shlote kalbein obligarsha. It shouldn't be like nothing with him in his mind to divorce her. Like, I'll divorce, you know, I got this morning, I don't like her, I'm divorcing her. You know what I mean? He's got to think it over. It's like a big financial expense. So the way I explained it was that an ish is like a balchov. Balchov, we said, is what? Beinoni. So the isha, we're leaving in ziburi. Why is that? So the Gemara says, "Sheoter mimasha ishro tzelisa." More than a man wants to get married, a ishro tzelina say. I don't need to incentivize her for anything. They're all jumping. They want to get married. So I'm going to leave it, you know, as a ziburi. So davar acher. Now with this davar acher, the Rashi in the Hava Mina, I think it means another reason why she collects from ziburi, but in the Maskana, it's not going to be that way. The Maskana is going to be a totally different halacha. Sometimes a woman is divorced, she's happy being divorced. Sometimes she's not happy being divorced. Meaning, in Din Torah, a man can divorce a wife al korcha, against her will. So today we have, you know, one of the Takanos from Rabbeinu Gershom, you can only divorce a woman if she consents to it. But in Din Torah, you could divorce a woman even against her will. This is va'ish in a motziya l'ritzono. But the man is only divorcing if he wants the divorce. He's in the driver's seat. So my davar, so that's the quote from the Braisa. So the Gemara says, my davar acher. What is this davar acher? What is it coming to explain? B'chi tema, the Gemara says, ki heichid chi mapik la ihu takinu l'rabanan ketuba minei, that just like when he is the divorcing her, in other words, he's the mover and the shaker behind the divorce, so the coming woman talking that the woman gets a ketuba, in other words, we want to put like the brakes on his actions. So you want a divorce? Tsuba, you know, pay $100,000, you know, now you can think it over a little bit. So similarly, the Gemara wants to say, maybe if she's the mover and shaker behind the divorce, not that she can actually do the institution of divorce, but if she's the one who's causing all the problems, you know, she's the one, I don't know, she's running around at night and throwing dishes and being impossible and behaving in egregious behavior, she's the cause of the breakup of the marriage, then maybe we should be talking that she should pay ksuba. That seems fair, right? So he says, so tashma isha yotza l'ritzona v'shal l'ritzona. So here the Bryce is saying that a woman leaves, you know, whether she's willing or not willing, but isha n'motzi l'ritzona. The man, he's only going to divorce if he wants to divorce. So efshar d'mashi l'abagita. So the Gemara says the man, he's in the driver's seat. So if she's behaving egregiously, he can say, you know, I know you want to be divorced. But I'm not divorcing you. I'm going to hold out, and maybe things will calm down. Let's look at Rashi on this. He says on the 10th narrow line of Rashi upstairs, efshar d'mashi l'abagita became a little ashi nidaita girsha. If he doesn't delay, that's what his own does. Anyway, the bottom line, the Gemara wants to say the davar acher is not explaining why the ksuba's isha is ziburi. It's just explaining why the ksuba was established for the woman and not for the man. In other words, why can't we have, you know, equality? But in other words, right. So in other words, if the woman is the cause for the divorce, maybe we should have her pay ksuba. So the Gemara says at the end of the day, the man only divorces when he wants the divorce, and he could, you know, delay the divorce and things like that. So we're not going to be talking it. Tosa says the shop, that's what we're going to go with. Okay? Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, let's go further. Okay, now we're going back to the Mishnah. Up till now was this Brisa, and now we're going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Ksuba Isha Bezibore, that a woman, for her Ksuba, she collects from, oh, that I did, I'm sorry, thank you so much. So Isha Bezibore, a woman collects from Ziburi. So Amar Marzutra, the raised Rav Nachman. So Marzutra, the son of Rav Nachman, said, Lo Amar Elo Miyatme. So when the Mishnah says that the woman collects a ksuba from Ziburit, according to Marzutra, that's only if the husband is dead. There are two ways that the marriage can be terminated, either through divorce or death. Those are the two ways. So it's talking about that the husband is dead, and she's trying to collect the money from the atonement, from the orphans. Aval Minei Didei, but Lu Yatsur, it's through divorce, and she's trying to collect the ksuba from a live, you know, ex-husband, the Beinoni. Then she would collect from Beinoni. Okay, so this is going to be the yisod for the rest of the out. But let's keep this in mind. So Marzutra wants to say when the Mishnah says that ksuba isha is from Ziburi, that's we have a dead husband, but a live husband would be Beinoni. And then so we'll see. Now, so the Gemara says miyat me my iria, so miyat me my iria ksuba isha if you call mili nami. So why would the Tana single out ketuba isha? In other words, if the halakha in the Mishnah is talking about collecting from Yitomim, that's the way Marzutra wants to say, talking about a dead person. So, but everybody collects from Yitomim is always from Ziburi. So then we let them so the Hatzanam. We learned the Mishnah, like Yosef said, with Hatzanam, in Ephraim and Nichsa Yitomim, Lomim and Ziburi. We learned that in our Mishnah. So why would the Tana single out the ksuba more than anything else that you're collecting from Yitomim? It comes under the regular, general halacha that blunderbuss halacha that ain't from the chesukim and ziburit. Ella minei, is it not? The Gemara is answering a question that Marzutra is not correct, and is it not the Mishnah means that ksuba isha is from ziburit even if it's from a live husband? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara is deflecting the kash against Marzutra. Leola miyatme, I could say that in Akhenami the Mishnah speaking in Tomim. But notwithstanding that, the Tana had to emphasize that Ketubat Isha is the same halacha as everybody else. How so? Salkadai Dramina, because I would have thought, left my own, you know, devices, Yishum China Akilu Rabbanan Gaba, I would have thought perhaps the Chachamim wanted to incentivize women to get married. Maybe they wanted to, you know, get them jumping more to get married. And therefore, they said that even if your husband dies, normally you'd be from Ziburi, but we're going to give you, normally you'd be from Ziburi, but we're going to give you Beinonit, I would have thought. So Kamash Malan. So it seems to me not that way. So in other words, there's a Sfara, which the Gemara rejects. But there's a Sfara to say that maybe the Chachamim wanted to incentivize women to get married, in which case one way they would incentivize them is to say that in the event of the death of your husband, going within Marzutra's Pshat, that normally you'd be entitled to Ziburi, but now we're going to give you Beinonit. So Kamash Malan, so Tana Mishnah seems, no, you get Ziburi, you're like everybody else. Right, those are the two, opposing Sfaras or whatever. So now, again, we're still with the Sfaras. So we're working with Marzutra. When the Mishnah says Ziburi, it only means if you have a dead husband. If you have a live husband, you're going to be Beinon. So Tashma. So now I'm a rabbi Tashma. So now the next line of the Mishnah says, I'm reading from the Mishnah, Rameir Omer Af Tubat Isha Bebeinoni. Rameir says that a Tubat Isha is Bebeinoni. So let's see back in the Gemara. So I'm a rabbi Tashma, Rameir Omer Tubat Isha Bebeinoni, Miman. Who is Rameir? Rameir is the next line of the Mishnah. So the Tana Kama says, you get Ziburi. Right? And then, yeah, did we say before, was this, and that was Rabbi Yehuda, right? So Tana Kama, who we know is Rabbi Yehuda, says you get Ziburi, and Rameir says, no, I disagree, you get Benoni. So he says, Miman, so who's Rameir speaking about? That is, but we can clarify who Rameir is speaking about. Presumably, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about the same case. Miman, Ilema Miyatne, if we'll say that Rameir is talking about collecting from a dead husband's estate, which is what, you know, Marzutra was, you know, positing, he says, lately the Rameir had not, and if I'm Tomi Olam is Ziburi. So doesn't Rameir hold from this halacha in the Mishnah that when it comes to Tomi Olam, it's talking about Ziburi? Allah, Mine, is it not that Rameir is talking about from a live husband you collect from Benoni? So if that's the case, McLeod, the Rabbanim Sabri, the Ziburi. So from there, the Rabbanim is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama, must hold that a live husband you collect Ziburi, not like the way Marzutra was saying. Marzutra said that Ziburi is only from the dead husband, but live husband Beinoni. But that can't be the case because Rameir must be talking about live, can't be talking about dead. So the Gemara says, lo, liyola miyatme. No, I could say indeed the Mishnah is talking about collecting from the Yitomim, and Rameir holds that even though the woman is collecting the tuba from the Yitomim, she still collects from the Beinoni. Mishai tuba isha mishamchina. In other words, that svara which we rejected 10 lines earlier, here the Gemara within the Shita Rameir adopts the svara. It says that we want to incentivize a woman to get married. And the incentive is, in the event of death of your husband, we're giving you superior rights over other creditors vis-a-vis the estate, but they know it. Anyway, the bottom line, Ramar Sutra holds that the line in the Mishnah says about Tubat Isha is talking about a dead husband. Live husband, get Beinoni. And Rameir says you get Beinoni. And so the Gemara says, isn't that a live husband? No. The Gemara says Rameir is also talking about dead husband, Beinoni. And why Beinoni? Because we want to enhance it. Okay, that's the working shot. Now, Amar Abaye, now we're not done with this, and we're still asking questions against Mar Zutra. Amar Abaye, Tashma. So this is, again, this is a quote from our Mishnah, the first line in the Mishnah. Tashma, Hanizakin Shamin Leveidit, injured parties collect from Idi, from the best. Ubalchov the Beinoni, a creditor collects from the Beinoni. Uktubidishab Ziburi. Now, Miman. So we assume, it's a little bit like in law, there's a rule, like, use them generous. Like, in other words, if you construe something in one case, everything is also construed that way for the other cases. So here also, the Gemara is saying, Tubit Isha B'Ziburit Miman. So who, in the case of the Mishnah, who are we talking about collecting the money from? Ilam Miyatme, if you're going to say all those cases, you have Nizakin, you have Baal Chov, and you have Tubit Isha. If they're all talking about collecting it from the estate that the tortfeasor and the debtor is dead, and the husband is dead. If everybody's dead, and we're collecting from Yitomim, he says, Ilam Yatme, my ear, Ketubat Isha. So why does the Tana sing out Ketubat Isha? I feel call Hani Nami. So not only Ketubat Isha, but everybody should be from the Ziburi. In other words, if Ketubat Isha is talking about where the person's dead, let me sit back in the Gemara. One second. Yeah, so if it's only dead, so then the other case is all dead. So you wouldn't collect from the Yidid, they wouldn't collect from Benoni, everybody would collect from the Ziburi. On the first medium-wide line, Elalav Minei, is it not that the first line of the Mishnah is pointing out you have a live person, you're collecting from the Meitav of the wrongdoer, you're collecting from the Meitav of the debt, or the Benoni of the debtor. So if that's the case, then Rabacha is history. So Am Rabacha Bar Yaakov, Hachaba Yaskinan, So Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov, in order to make this Mishnah work within Mar Zutra, so Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov says you have to say the first line of the Mishnah is talking about, you're right, the son is dead. In other words, in this case, the people are dead. In other words, the person who was the Mazik is dead. The person who was the debtor is dead. And the husband is dead. But it's talking about a case where the father of assumed became an arev, a guarantor for the debts of his son. And so the father, at the time the debt was incurred, he became an arev for the son. That's what it means. He says, "V'hai kidine, v'hai kidine." So each case is like its existing din. In other words, you have like two people that you can go to collect from. You got the dead person, which is the son, but you have his father. He agreed to also be liable. He says, "Nizakin u'balchov d'michayim gavu." So Nizakin and Balchov, who would collect when the son would be alive, they would collect it. So iunami ki magri ki mechayim magri. So too, when they're collecting from the father, they're going to collect the same rights as they would from the dead son. In other words, so if I have, let's say, the dead son's shore, you know, injured his neighbor, and the father agreed to be an arev on the damages, and then the son died. So just like the... also eat it, right? And then the same thing with the Beinoni, with Balchol. He says, Ketubit Isha, l'achar mita gavya. Ketubit Isha, you know, by act of law, the Gemara assumes divorces were not so frequent, and 99% of the time, the Ketubit Isha is after death. So Ketubit Isha, which is normally collected after death, l'achar mita miman gavya miyatme. So, in other words, you're entitled to the same rights that you would normally have. So when would Ketubat Isha normally be collected? After the death of your husband. That's what the Gemara is saying. So after the death, you would collect from the Yatomim. So Iunami ki magbi kla'achar mita magbi. So here too, you're entitled to collect from the Ziburi. That's what we think. So the main point being that we have a way to say that the Mishnah could be like Mar Zutra, and the Mishnah is talking about that it's a zibur, it means the husband, his son is dead, whatever. But in the other cases also could be that the dead, but he's collecting from the father because he's nari. So the Gemara says, but wait, this pshat, which sounds kind of attenuated to begin with, isn't so great. But typically, the arev tiktuba lo mishtabe. But an arev tiktuba, the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to, we don't know this yet, it's going to teach us that if a person undertakes to be an arev for a ksuba, that's not a binding promise. Because the Gemara is going to learn, and arev bikes, in other words, a lot depends on the intent of the arev. Did he intend to obligate himself with this debt? So the Gemara is going to say that with the ksubas and isha, there's two things. First, the isha never expended any money. In other words, normally, let's say, you know, somebody borrows money, and I'm an arev. There's been an exchange of money. So with ksubas and isha, there's no exchange of money. In addition to which, he views it like a mitzvah to kind of, you know, facilitate the marriage. So the Gemara is going to learn in tomorrow's daf that an arev on a ksubas isha is not a binding promise. So then I'm going to be a problem. So the Gemara says bekablon. So there's another type of guarantor that's a kablon. A kablon agrees. So normally you have to go to the debtor first and then you go to the guarantor. With a kablon, you get to go to the kablon even before the debtor. So his father agreed to be a kablon. So the Gemara says, "Anich leman demar kablon afalgav the late nichse delove mishtabe shapir." So that would work well according to the pshat that if at the time the debt was incurred, the debtor had no property, and nevertheless the kablanot is still binding. So that works out well. In other words, because the son might be a deadbeat and he didn't have any money, and so that works out well. El leman demar itle mishtabe di late lo mishtabe. But according to the opinion, says that the kablanos is only chal if at the time the debt is incurred, the debtor had assets to cover the existing debt, my iklamemar. So in this case, we're thinking that the son dies and now he's coming to the kablan to get paid for it. But that's only, presumably the son didn't have any assets. That would be the only way that would work. But if the son didn't have any assets, how did he become obligated on it? So the Gemara says, so I could say he had it. He had fields and they got wind blasted and now they're worthless. Or else I could say that's normally the halakha. When it comes to accepting an obligation for a son, a person is mishabbing himself. In other words, we're entering the mind of the guarantor, of the kabbalah. Does he intend to obligate himself? So normally, kablan only intends to obligate himself if the debtor has got assets. But with a father and a son, he intends to obligate himself even if the son doesn't have assets. In other words, like a father wants to come into the son. All right. Now, Let me just see if I have a few. Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is better than what that happens to the couple.
Right, good.
The guy has to ask, but it doesn't have to ask. So in that opinion, that it only works if the guy has to ask.
Yeah, no.
What's the question?
Okay, so once I'm trying to get the question, I'll get it. Okay, so we said that a kavlan, the creditor, can go to the debtor or to the kavlan. And your question is? It doesn't work if the person had no assets at the time the debt was incurred, right?
But why does it matter to the kavlan?
Why does it matter? It means like this, that when a person accepts responsibility to pay the debt, oh, you mean since he can come to me, because then, yeah, but then I can go to the debtor and say, give me the, you know, make me whole. So I have a right to go. So he was asking, so we said, Ruth, okay. We said with a kavlan that a kavlan means that the creditor can come to the kavlan first before it's the debtor. You with me, Ruth?
Yes.
So Yosef was asking if the creditor has what? So he's saying if the creditor can go directly to the kavlan, why does the kavlan care that the debtor did not have assets or whatever? So, but it means that the kavlan could go back to the debtor and ask to be, you know, made whole. Okay, so he wants to make sure that he's got assets. Okay, listen, that's going to be it tonight. Nice having you. One minute. Let me go send the recording. One second, don't go anywhere. One second, hold on.